Well, good evening again. Stay mine. I don't know what's worse, you sitting there or John sitting there. Well, thank you for your prayers tonight. Kind of a long day. We were at a funeral today. Someone actually my age died extremely suddenly, right in front of her parents. And her whole family is hurting tremendously. And so we just, the parents, good friends of my sister, Dana, and her husband, Tracy, and actually they were instrumental in leading, this couple's name is Deb and Jim, to the Lord, and it was their daughter that passed away. So I just ask that you would continue to keep that family if you think about it in your prayers. She left children and actually a grandchild, one grandchild, surprisingly. So, so it's been quite a journey for quite a young couple in the Lord. Even though they're an older couple, they're only a couple years in the Lord, and he definitely, they both really are, you can tell they're leaning on the Lord just from their comments. So that was really neat to, sad to see, but neat to see. So we're going to continue with 2 Peter 3. This is literally the last time that we will officially open Peter up as a group for now. Don't know if the Lord will tarry long enough for us to swing back around to to Peter again, but it's been quite a privilege to teach it, and I hope you guys feel the same way, how relevant and pertinent it was for these days. I feel like we say that with every book, but I just, that's the beauty of the Bible, the beauty of God's word. It's eternal. I think we'll be saying that in eternity too. It's so relevant. So, anyway, let me just read our passage again. I will say too, I'm also very much looking forward to starting 1 John, and it's quite a book. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, some hard hitting things in there. I mean, John is blunt. I'll just say it that way. And if it doesn't stir your heart or make it ache or make it convicted, then something's wrong. But anyway, 2 Peter 3, 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, and let me start at 11 again. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for the hastening and the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all of his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Amen. G. Campbell Morgan tells of a great English actor named MacReady. You may have heard of him. An eminent preacher once said to him, I wish you could explain to me something. Well, what is it? I don't know that I can explain anything to a preacher. What is the reason for the difference between you and me? You are appearing before crowds night after night with fiction. The crowds come wherever you go. I am preaching the essential and unchangeable truth, and I am not getting any crowd at all. MacReady's answer was this: this is quite simple, preacher. I can tell you the difference between you and me. I present my fiction as though it were truth, and you present your truth as though it was fiction. You know, I saw that illustration and it just stuck with me. Here's a performer. Here is, it's actually where we get the word hypocrite in the scriptures, right? It means many-faced, or, you know, it's, you know. And here's this hypocrite performer, right? This performer, and he is presenting his fake whatever, play, whatever he was doing, soliloquy, whatever he was doing, in a way that people believed it was from his heart and that it was the truth, and they got ingrained it, and they got behind it, and they got immersed in it. And here is a preacher that has the truth. There's no lie there. There's no fiction there. He has the truth. And yet, he wasn't getting the crowd. Now, I understand that it's not all about the crowd, but what this MacReady said to him about presenting it, those words, it's quite simple. I present my fiction as though it were truth, and you present your truth as though it were fiction. And I had to wonder, how did he present his truth as though it were fiction? Was it the way he spoke it? Was it the way once he got off of his stage or his pulpit, the way he lived his life? What was it that the people didn't see in him? We claim to be different. We claim to have the only truth, the absolute truth, in a world that does not believe in any absolutes. We claim to have the corner of the market on truth. Absolute truth. There is no other truth. And yet so many people don't want to hear it. Don't believe us. And I got to wonder, what is it? Is it the way I speak my words? Is it the way I live as I walk off the platform? Is it the way we live our lives? Or, you know, I'm talking to the group here. I know for me, but What is it that this world finds so problematic with the truth?
We know that a lot of the world doesn't want to have the finger pointed at the things they're doing wrong and say that that is wrong, so they don't even bother coming to hear somebody who teaches the truth. They don't want to hear it. That's part of it.
Absolutely. And there's, I think it's twofold. Sadly, brothers and sisters, we claim to be different. We claim that we have the Spirit of God indwelling us, right? Supernaturally. What's going on? We claim supernaturally that He is indwelling us, that God is indwelling us at all times. We claim to be different. We claim to look different. To act different. But I find so much as I was thinking about after Sunday, we do so much of what the world does. We give approval to what the world does. Even if we don't do it, we give approval to what the world does. We do what they do. We buy what they buy. We're afraid of what they're afraid of. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, lose your own conviction. This isn't preference. This isn't talking about preference. This is talking about our conviction. What is our true conviction? As we read the truth of God's word, are we being convicted? Are we standing on that truth? Are we living our lives that we truly believe that this is the truth and there is no other? And John, you're right. It absolutely is the audience too. It absolutely is the audience. Clearly, man has decided for himself. And I think that's going to be a part of it. And I want to get into that a little later. We'll talk a little bit about that. But we are the light on a hill. A city that shouldn't be hidden. Our light shouldn't be under the bushel. We are the ones that are to be seen. We are the ambassadors of the God of the universe. We are the only Christ people. How many times have we said this? We are the only Christ that people will see. And sadly, when they see me, they see a poor Christ. And it needs to get better. It needs to get better because the world is getting worse. My Christ needs to get better in me. They need to see it. It can't just be verbal for us. We can't just say it. They need to see it in us. And it's all part of it, right? I mean, it's all part of it. I love that Phillips Brooks illustration that I read on Sunday. That they were asking, well, how do you have such peace in your life? And he was honest. He just said, it's a work in progress. It's just knowing him better. And I've come to know him in a better way. I've come to have a truer love for him. And he's personally growing within me. And he knows me and I know him. This is what the world does need to see. You know, I said on Sunday that Sam's application was right on with his passage. You know, that the day of the Lord is coming. This idea of wickedness being judged and being condemned, and it's going to be that final condemnation where God's wrath is just poured out. Nothing left. Poured out. And we have a lot of people around us heading straight right into it like a snowplow. It's got to cause us. It's got to cause us to want to share what we have. It has to. It has to cause us. But I think some of us, we're afraid to share what we have because it doesn't look real in us. And I think we're afraid of that. I think we're afraid that it doesn't look real, that Christ doesn't look real in my life. So why should I share it? I'm embarrassed to. Because it's not real to me. And brothers and sisters, it has to become real. It has to be the only truth. It has to be pure conviction in your life. And when people see that, I love listening to someone that's passionate about something. I love when John talks about plants because he's passionate about it. I love talking about woodworking or carpentry, and I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate about not only doing it, but doing it well and getting it done right. And when you talk to John about plants, and I bring him to my house and I say, "Well, John, we can just throw a tree here, or put a plant there, and this and that." And John's like, "Please shut up. Stop. No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Lisa now. Because she's at least sane when it comes to this thing." Because John has a passion for it to be done right and well and perfect. And that's what God's given him to. And he's just as passionate about the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, that's what we need. We need to be just as passionate as the most passionate thing in our lives as the Word of God. Because when we're as passionate about the Word of God as we are the most passionate thing in our lives, we are going to be, it's going to come across. It's not going to come across like you're trying to hide it under a bushel. It's going to come across like you're excited about it, that you believe that this is the only thing that matters. The only thing that matters to you. That we get it right, that people see a true Christ before us. And it says in verse 14 that we are waiting for these things. We are waiting. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, and again, this is back in 11, the day of the Lord, what sort of people ought we to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Waiting for and hastening, desiring earnestly for the coming day of God. This is that eternal perspective that we all have to have. I remember Johnson, I loved his zeal for this point. That we have eternity written in our hearts. And I always used to love when he said that because I knew that Johnson said that because he believed it. That we have eternity written in our hearts. These are eternal things. And this is what we're looking for, the day of God, because this speaks of eternity, not the day of the Lord like we talked about. But according to his promise, we believers, in verse 13, are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which which righteousness dwells. And we read... Sorry. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish, at peace. What things are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? We're going to kind of sum this up in a nutshell. What are we waiting for? What did it just say in those verses? What are we waiting for? Clearly not the day of the Lord. We're waiting for the day of God, which is, just said it in verse 13. But according to his promise, we, believers, are waiting for in which righteousness dwells. Yeah. Yeah, but I think what we need to think what we need to think about. And I can't remember the guy's name. Randy Alcorn, maybe. Heaven. I don't know if anyone read that book. And honestly, I don't even know where his theology's at or anything. I thought at the time it was a good book, and I'll tell you the reason why. The thing that I liked about that book is it made heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, real. It wasn't sitting on a cloud playing a harp. He went through all the scriptures, which aren't a lot. There's way more on hell than there is in heaven in the scriptures. But he went through the scriptures and just the scriptures that there is. And when you think about the truth of what the earth is now and how it was created at the beginning of its, you know, and I don't want to get too far off here, but the reality is brothers and sisters, we got to start thinking about that, our hope. In a new heaven and new earth. And our hope is in Jesus Christ, of course, because without him in the new heaven and the new earth, it's nothing. I don't want to be there. But we also have to remember that the Lord has something awesome prepared for us. Lisa and I have been talking more and more in these last days because we're both going through Revelation again to just start going through it and just talking about the new Jerusalem and the new heavens and the new earth and that we don't talk about these things because, well, one, we don't know a lot about them, but we do. If the new heavens is anything like, or the new earth is anything like the earth that was created, it's going to be magnificent without any curse. Remember, Christ's death, he not only redeemed us, but he redeemed all creation. There will be no curse in the new earth. Let your kids ask you if there's going to be animals in heaven. And you can say, I don't know about heaven, but I bet you on the new earth there will be. Magnificent. Brothers and sisters, I think of the New Jerusalem. I know I'm off course here, but I'm sorry. These are the things that are on my heart, and I want you to be excited about them. I want your hope to be hopeful, that people see the hope that is within you. I think of the New Jerusalem, and I think of the Lord's words in John when he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And you think about that. He had 6 days to create a perfect earth. In the garden. And it must have been wonderful. And he's had 2,000 years to prepare a place for us. Brothers and sisters, we should be excited. And all that pales in comparison for seeing our Savior. Listen, clearly we have some work to do here. Clearly our work isn't done yet. Clearly, as we've all said in the last couple, the last one hasn't bowed the knee. The Father hasn't turned to the Son and said, go get your bride. So clearly we have work to do yet. But brothers and sisters, as we think about this, how many times in the Scriptures, how many warnings do we have from Peter? How many warnings do we have from Paul to be found worthy, to be found spotless, to be found blameless, to be found in Him, to be found holy, to be found righteous? I've been thinking about more and more in these last days that I don't want to be found ashamed. I don't want to be found ashamed. I want to be found working, and I don't want to be found hiding. We said on Sunday, this isn't a time for a hide and fly away routine. And it would be easy. And I'll tell you, right now, the way this world is, it'd be real easy to hide. It'd be real easy to hide until we fly away. But I don't want to be ashamed. And I think I'd be ashamed. We say there'll be no tears in heaven, and that's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. You will not find that in Scripture. But what you will find is that God will wipe away your tears. And I wonder why. I wonder why he's going to have to wipe away my tears. Is it because that I was found ashamed? Is it because I'm going to look at a screen of my whole life and how many times I let him down? And how many times I was ashamed to share the gospel? Or maybe he'll even open a hatch up and let me see all the people all around me my whole life that are going to hell. Brothers and sisters, we have to get serious. We have to get serious here. There's too much at stake. How do you want to be found? Well, now we can start our study for the night. No, I'm just kidding. Let's pray. Father, Lord, there are so many reasons why, or so many excuses, I should say, that we give for the way we live our lives. And I'll say for the way I live my life. Lord, these passages that we've been going through, Lord, you're not just, I just don't see these as coincidence. Lord, I just don't see these, how relevant they are to what's going on all around us. I don't see it as coincidence, Lord. Lord, it says in these passages that the ignorant and unstable want to twist everything good that you've given us. Lord, we see that all around us. We see that all around us, Lord. Father, help us to stand strong. Help us to live our lives, as Paul would say in Ephesians, worthy of our calling. Lord, there is so much to do yet. Lord, it's easy for us to get angry. It's easy for us to get upset as we look at the world around us, as we look at the false government trying to rule us, as we look at the so many things that are going on, Lord. It just seems like Satan is having a heyday. But Father, You know who's in control. And you have placed your son at your right hand, fully sovereign in all these things, that the church understands that the gates of hell have nothing against the church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Lord, even though all around us it looks like the gates of hell are prevailing, Lord, on this earth, the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. And we know these things. And Lord, we can take comfort in knowing these things, Lord. But Father, help the church to act like the church. We need to act like the church. We need to act like we have a supernatural Holy Spirit living within us. We need to act like we have the truth. We have the way and we have the life. Lord, we have so much. So much. Lord, help us not to hide it. Lord, help us to be bold. Lord, give us your strength. Give us the power of the Spirit to move mountains. Lord, in this place, in this community, Lord, in this world. Lord, we can't help but think that time is short. But Lord, let's sprint. Help us to sprint to the end. Help us to sprint to the end together, Lord. Help us to, as a body here, this small ragtag body on the top of the hill in Plumstead, Lord, enable us, empower us. Lord, just cleanse the sin from us. Lord, help us. Strengthen us. Give us the strength that only comes from you, Lord. Because we cannot fight the evil one on our own. It is only going to be through your strength, through your armor, through your everything that you've given us, Lord. All of the weapons of warfare, Lord, because this war is real. Oh, this war is real. Boy, have we been feeling it. But Father, we know who wins. There's battles lost, but we know who does win the war. And we thank you for that. We thank you that we serve the only one and true God. And we just ask, Lord, Help us in our weakness. Give us strength that we never knew we had because it's your strength. Lord, help us not to doubt. Help us not to lose heart, Lord. This world wants nothing more than to take us down, Lord, but we know that we are in you. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Again, we just thank you for the night, Lord. I pray that what you wanted said was said. We thank you for these words that you've given us, Lord. You didn't just leave us here with nothing, Lord, but you gave us this, your beautiful word. And pray, Father, that we would hide this word in our heart as the day approaches. Lord, who knows how long we'll even be able to have a word, a written word before us. Lord, help us to hide this word in our heart. Keep our feet from stumbling, Lord. Let it be a lamp into our feet and a light into our lives here, Lord. Again, we just thank you for some of the positive praises tonight, Lord. We do want to get, once again, want to thank you that Dave and Deanne are getting better, Lord. We just want to thank you for so many things, Lord. We thank you that Roy's here with us tonight, Lord. We thank you for protecting him in many ways from his fall on Sunday. Lord, we thank you that our brother John will be able to share the word on Sunday. We thank you, Lord, for him. Father, we pray for John. We pray for his marriage, and we pray, Lord, that you're the only one that can change hearts, Lord. And Father, I'm sorry that I confess I don't always pray for him in that capacity, Lord, but I just want to pray for their relationship, Lord. I pray that you would break down any pride and, Lord, bring humility to that situation. And Lord, just pray for Jim Abbott too, Lord. I thank you that he has been faithfully coming for so long, but yet, Lord, these last few weeks he hasn't been here, and we know that he's hurting right now. And so we just ask a special blessing upon him, Lord. We just thank you for bringing him to in our midst, Lord. I pray that we would continue to show the love of Christ to him. Lord, be with Jim and Darce tonight. Uplift Jim, Lord. I know he's hurting. I know he's tired. Lord, again, we just thank you for all these things that you do for us, all the gifts that you give us, the mercies you grant daily, Lord, that we forget about. And it's in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, most precious and worthy name. Oh, how worthy he truly is, Lord. It's in his precious name we pray, amen.